Okay. Like I said, it's important for you guys to get to know me as I get to know you guys. So let's do a couple questions. Is there anything you guys want to know? Right here in the red hat. Favorite color? Yankee blue. I feel like someone already asked that. You right there. How old are my kids? 9-year-old son, 7-year-old daughter. They're both very into karate. Right here. The New York Yankees. I wanted to be Derek Jeter growing up. Right here. My favorite TV show. Phineas and Ferb. You guys watch the new season? Okay, we'll do one more right here. My favorite NFL team is the Minnesota Vikings. My dad is from Minnesota. Wasn't a big sports guy, so I got teams from all over. But I like the Vikings. My uncles are very big Vikings fans. And I think this is going to be a good year for us, okay? So we've talked a lot about sin. We're going to expand on sin a little bit more. But we're going to try and focus on sin is important, why it's important when we have a right view of God, okay? So turn your Bibles to Genesis 39, and who remembers what's happened so far in the life of Joseph? Who wants to help me help us remember? Right here in the pink hoodie. His brothers did something very, very, very wrong and sold him. That's right. Right here. That's right. So we see how much his brother, what? That's right. So remember the first time we talked about how much his brothers hate him. This morning we saw just how much they hate him, that they wanted to kill him. But one brother said, let's not kill him. And then he left. They threw him in a pit. Reuben left. And when Reuben came back, he was gone, right? They sold him into slavery. So when you is everyone in Genesis 39? All right. Well, then let's start reading. You guys ready?
Yep.
Read along with me. Genesis 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, that's important to remember, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So everything Joseph did, the Lord caused it to succeed. Okay? And Potiphar saw that. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. So the Lord blessed everything Joseph was doing so much that it says Potiphar didn't even care anymore. He didn't even pay any attention to what Joseph was doing. He only worried about what he had to eat. And this is a big deal, right? Potiphar is really high up there, and he put Joseph in charge of everything. And it's cool to see that no matter what happens, right, God is in charge. He can make anything happen. So let's keep reading in verse 7. And after a time, his master's wife cast eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And she spoke to Joseph day after day. He would not listen to her or lie beside her. Now, to lie with someone who's not your wife, it's not okay, right? It's a really bad thing. But what I want to focus on is what Joseph says. He says, how can I commit this great sin against God? And that's exactly what sin is, right? It's rebellion against God. But it seemed that Joseph understood that God was up to something, that he had a special task, a special plan for him. And so he knew that he could not sin against God in order to prevent that. In verse 11, but one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment or his clothes, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled out of the house, she called to the men of the household and said to them, see, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, he left the garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came into me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house. Skip to verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. So this is a familiar thing for Joseph, right? How has this happened to Joseph before? How does it happen? If we think back to what his brothers did, what did they do? And then they created a lie, right? And Joseph's life is like this roller coaster, right? Up and down, up and down. Have you guys ever gotten in trouble for someone saying something about you that wasn't true? Many times? And how do you guys feel when that happens? You don't really care, but it's still annoying. Now, what if it got you in jail? You would be pretty upset, right? So if we can imagine Joseph, he gets out of the pit that his brothers threw him in. He goes into Potiphar's house. And what does he do in Potiphar's house? He rises to the top. He's in charge of everything. So he's back up here. And then there's a lie about him. He comes right back down. I don't know about you guys, but if I was Joseph, I'd be feeling very hopeless at this point. Like, I'd be asking God, what are you doing? Why is this my life? Why is this happening? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Now, does that sound familiar? Because we just read it, right? He goes into Potiphar's house. What do we read? The Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed, successful. So we see that even within the Lord's plan, the world is still sinful, right? But does that ever stop God's plan? No, because he's all powerful, all knowing. So I want to do a little something. Let me grab something from back here real quick. I have something to kind of illustrate this. I just wanted to get a table so you guys, it's not a big thing, but I just want you guys all to be able to see it. You guys ever played Jenga? Now, I told you guys I like playing games, right? You guys all know this about me. Ooh, look at that. Thank you. Okay. So we're going to pretend that these Jenga blocks represent your life, okay? And let's say this is you. Life is good, right? Life is good. Who feels like they want to play Jenga with me? Now, there was someone who... Oh, don't wear the hat. I can't find you. Okay, come on up. So, as we've talked about sin, we know that our sin, it affects our life. We know other people's sin affects our life. And we know that just from the fall in Genesis 3, right, when Adam and Eve brought sin into the world, sin just affects everything, okay? So, think of a sin that has affected either from the story or life. So I'll say when Joseph's brothers hated him, okay? So I'm gonna pull this one. Maybe what you've learned or what you've experienced yourself. When your brother told on you and it was a lie. Okay, pull one. Oh, you're that kind of Jenga player, huh? Oh. This is not, it's a fake Jenga set, so it's kind of a... Okay. So just imagine with me, right? Sin. Hey, you can go have a seat. Thank you. This is what happens when sin affects our life, right? And now, like, when life is like this, it doesn't feel as good, does it? And what we see with Joseph is other people lying, other people doing things. His life must have felt a lot like this, a little shaky, like this fake Jenga set, right? But what we see time and time again is what? Not just God's love, but it says that God was with him. Now, when we talk about sin, it's important to understand who God is. God is holy. He is perfect. He is all loving, all knowing, all powerful. And because of that, he cannot be in the presence of sin. Which means when sin came into the world, that's why we see Adam and Eve leave the garden. Because God is holy, meaning he's perfect, and he cannot be in the presence of sin. And so what do we do? How can we be in a relationship with God if we're sinners? We're going to talk about that more tomorrow night, but it's important to know that God is not just up there letting all these bad things happen, that he's in control. He allows things to happen. But even as we see in the life of Joseph, it says that he was with him. And I want you guys to know this. He is with you. Even when life is shaky, even when we don't understand it. Remember how I told you guys my friend about this morning who had cancer? She needed to know that despite, regardless of what she was going through, God was with her. That's the kind of God he is. He loves us so much, he would never leave us. He had a plan for us, the promised Redeemer who would come and crush the serpent's head. Remember us talking about that? This reminds me of one of my favorite Bible verses. It comes from Matthew 10, 29 through 31. And this is what it says. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. Have you guys ever heard that before? Have you guys seen these little birds flying around? It says that not one of them would fall to the ground without God knowing. So how much would he care? How much we see how much he cares about these little birds. But it goes on to say, he has numbered the hairs on your head. So what does that say about God's care and love for you? A lot. A lot. God is sovereign even in the most insignificant events. He has constant sovereign supervision over everything that is happening. And he surely, deeply cares for you. Okay? Let me pray for us. Father, just grateful for a day of fun at summer camp. Thankful to see some belly flops. And just thankful to be able to come and open your word and hear about how much you care about us, God. I'm just so thankful for just even the passage in Matthew where you show us not only do you care about the birds in the sky, but you care even more, that you've numbered the hairs on our head. I would pray that each and every one of these kids would grow in their understanding of that. And despite how sin affects the world, affects us, how other people's sin affects us, our sin affects our life, that we would hold on to the constant reminder that you are always with us, that you are sovereign in all things. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen.